We begin the current daf in Masechet Yevam as daf Pei Beis. We begin on the bottom of Pei Aleph and Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf. That is on the Mishnah on Pei Aleph and Aleph, said a halacha with an androgynous that's a Kohen, he could be Michael his Isha in Chuma. Now there was a machlokes in the Gemara between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan, as Rish Lakish said, that's only for Chuma Bezman Hazeh, which is Rabbinic Chuma, but Truma Deiraisa and Chazav Shaykh, which are biblical, that he would not be able to feed her because he's a doubtful Zachar. And therefore, rabbinic Truma, he can have her eat, but since he might be a woman, he cannot give her to eat biblical things like Truma in the times of the Beis HaMikdash or Chazav Shaykh. Whereas Rabbi Yechon Argani says that no, we consider the androgynous as a definite Zachar, and therefore the halach of Rabbi Yisrael B'Shimon in the Mishnah that it could be Mechel Truma is not just Truma B'Zman Zeh, it's even Truma D'Rais, and even parts of Kachim animals. Now, Rabbi Yechon asked to Rish Lakish, he said, obviously, this that you're dividing in their opinion of Rabbi Yisrael B'Shimon and saying it's only Truma B'Zman Zeh and not Truma in the times of Beis HaMikdash, obviously, is because you're differentiating and saying that Truma B'Zman Zeh is only rabbinic. And that Rish Lakish said, yes. As a matter of fact, I'll prove it to you from a b'raisa. The b'raisa says that if you have the ziguli devela, these round cakes of figs, where one of them is truma that gets mixed in 100 of chulin, that will say that it will be bottle in 100. Now, if you would assume that truma zmanazah is biblical, is d'raisa, now since it's a davar chasha, because it's something that's commonly sold by number, it wouldn't be bottle. Obviously, it's only bottle because truma zmanazah is drabbanan. Which Rabbi Yechon responds to Rish Lakish says that's a mistaken premise, because actually even if it was deiraisa, it would still be batal, because although it's what's called kol shadar kelimanis, it's commonly sold by number, but it's not always. And only as Rabbi Yechon responded to Rish Lakish, you have a mistaken understanding of the Mishnah Maseches Arla in the opinion of Rabbi Meir. It's not kol shadar kelimanis. It's not anything that's commonly sold by number that's never batal. It's only es shadar kelimanis, only something that is always sold by number. And Rabbi Yechon says, I'll prove it to you. Because there's a b'raisa, and that's the b'raisa we concluded at the end of Pei Aleph and Beis, that says with the case of chaticha shel chatas tameah. If one takes a piece of a karma chatas that's tameh, that gets mixed with 100 pieces of a karma chatas that's tahar, and similarly regarding a piece of lachem aponim that's tameh into 100 pieces that's tahar, the halacha the Tanakhama says is tala, it will be batal. Now that's a case of kol shadar kelimonis. It's something that's commonly sold by number, although sometimes it could be by estimate too. But you say how many slices you want, and yet still we see that's going to be batal. Obviously, your understanding is incorrect, because it's not kol shadar kelimonis, because that actually would be batal. It's only es shadar kelimonis, only something that is only sold by number. And therefore, the brisa that you're bringing to try to support that truma zmanazah is drabanan is not true. The reason why it's batal is because it's only kol shadar kelimonis, and not Esha Darklimonis. That was the raya that Rabbi Yechanan brought to his opinion that Rish Lakish is mistaken. Now on that, the Gemara continues, Amr Rebchia Bereid Rav Huna. He says, actually, it's not a difficulty from this braisa on Rish Lakish. Truthfully, Rish Lakish could be correct in his interpretation of Rabbi Meir's opinion in the Mishnah Maseches Arla, that anything that's called Shadak Limonis, even if it's commonly sold, which would apply to that case of Igulit Devela also, that it would not be bottle. Now, however, this braisa that we find something called Shadar Kelimonis that is batal is Toma Benimucha. We're talking about that the piece of the Chatas meat that's Tameh got dissolved. If it got dissolved, it's not Chashiva at all. It's not something that's sold by number because it's totally dissolved. It would be sold by weight or by estimate, whatever it is. And therefore, that's why it's going to be batal in the 100 pieces of the Chatas Tahira. But you're right, if it was a slice as it was before, then it wouldn't be batal. Now that the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, then my time at Rabbi Yehuda. In that Braisa, there was an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda who he argued on this ratio of the Braisa regarding the case we just spoke about of the Tamei Chatas meat of that slice or the Tamei Lechem Aponim slice, where he held that it's not going to be bottled in the 100. Now, Teis Shem explains that if you would say, as the Gemara had assumed, the way Rabbi Yechon was saying this Braisa, that someone that it wasn't dissolved, so it makes sense what would be the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda that he would say it's not batal, because he would hold that anything that's kol shadar kelimonis, anything that's ever sold with a minion, is not going to be batal. But now that Rish Lakish is saying that the Tanna Kamma, who says that it is going to be batal, is not because it's called Shadarkoi, but rather because it was Nimuach, it was dissolved. So what's the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda? If it's totally dissolved, now why wouldn't it be batal in this 100 pieces of Chatas Tahiru and the 100 pieces of the Lechem HaPanim Tahirus? That the Gemara continues at the top of Pei Beis and Aleph. That is, as we had alluded to this on the previous staff, Rabbi Yehuda L'tamei. Rabbi Yehuda is going according to the opinion mentioned elsewhere in Shas, Masechtas Chulin, Masechtas Menachos, for a totally different reason it's not going to be batal. You're right, not because of its chashivas, and generally kachim is batal 1 in 100. But here it's because the Amar that Rabbi Yehuda is on record as saying, min b'minu le batal. If it's the same type of item, it can never be batal just because of the fact that it's called min b'minu. Bittl only works in min b'she'inim, meaning two different types of things, then one could be batal in raib, or in 100, or in 200, or whatever the halacha is. But here, since we're talking about two slices of meat, albeit one's tummy, one's tar, or two pieces of bread, it's not going to be batal. But the truth is, it's not a difficulty on Rish Lakish, because we're talking about that it's dissolved, and that's why it's going to be batal. Now, the Gemara asks on this resolution for Rish Lakish, avoloini muchamai, but what would the inference be? And that's how we're trying to explain Rish Lakish. That if it wouldn't be dissolved, let's say it was a regular slice of chatas meat, then loitala, then it wouldn't be batal. No, so therefore the Gemara asks, adud tani, then instead of saying in the Braisa, that in the Seifa that says, wait a second, meaning in the Reisha Tanna Kamma saying that it will be batal. And the way Rish Lakish is saying it, because it's dissolved, it'll be a batal in the ratio of 100 to 1. So instead of the Seifa saying, av chaticha shel chatas tahira, but when we're talking about a slice of tahar chatas meat, which gets mixed in 100 tar chulin pieces. So then the Braisa says, loital. Now, it sounds like the reason is because it's a small loss. That was the halacha because what there's nothing, no psulin happened over here. It's just that although you have 100 to 1 ratio, but since you're not going to utilize the principle of bittel for something that is still valid, meaning kahanim can eat this whole mixture, although non-Kahanim can't eat it, and all the chulin is going to have to be sold to Kahanim, but it's a small loss. But the difficulty is, niflig v'nisne b'dida, as the Gemara asks many times in Shas, we prefer, if we're making differentiations and divisions, to do it in the category itself that you were talking about. In other words, in the ratio, you were saying something that would be tala, that would be batal, and that is when we were talking about the case of when one is tamei and 100 are not. Now, we should have said, even in that case, Bamed, when did we say that it's going to be tala, it's going to be batal? That's only b'shinei mucha, as Rish Lakish, as the Gemara is explaining for Rish Lakish, that he's saying it's only talking about when it was dissolved. Avaloi nimucha loy tala, but if it wasn't dissolved, then it wouldn't be batal. And that is, even though there's no rectification, it still wouldn't be batal according to Rish Lakish. So why go to a different category of talking about a different halacha when it's not tummy and tar, but rather with kachim and chulin, that then, oh, it's not going to be batal because it's just a small loss, say in this category itself. Say, although we're saying that it's going to be tala in tum and tahara, but that's only minemucha. But when it's not dissolved, as Rish Lakish holds kosher darkei liman, this is not batal, then even if it's the same category, it will not be tala, it will not be batal. That the Gemara answers, tahayris bit tahayris adifle. The Braisa preferred to make the division in cases of tahiris that is not going to be batal. And that is, we wanted to tell you that even where both of them are tahar, and that is the case of tahiris but tahiris, that even there it's not going to be batal. Because the truth is, in halacha, there's more halachic standing to say that there's an application of bittel when both of them are tahar versus when one of them is tameh. As we find in the Mishnah Masechtas Trumais, that it says that when you have Truma Tahira and Chulin Tahira, and everybody agrees that there's Halacha of Tala of Bittel. But regarding a case of when you have Truma Temeya in Tahira, it's actually Machlekes over there between Bishamay and Bishil. So therefore, there's more of a Chiddush to say the case that the Braisa is talking about. When they're both Tahar, Truma, regarding the case of Truma Tahira that falls into Chulin Tahira or Lechem HaPanim or the Chatas that it's talking over there in the Braisa, then saying even in the own division. So you're right, there would be some type of a mitzvah saying in this category itself, but we wouldn't have the extra chiddush of saying that even when they're both tar, where generally we would want to say bittul. Moreover, as Rosh Lakish is interpreting this brisa, it's that it's dissolved, and you don't have another reason why it shouldn't be bittul, which would be because of davar chashuv. In spite of that, that's what the brisa is saying, that everyone would agree, in this case, loitala, and that's as we explained before, because it's just a half semu, it's just a small loss. So for a small loss, when we talk about biblical halachas, it's not going to be bittul. So therefore, it's not a difficulty, because although, yes, we could say in the same category, but we prefer to say a bigger chiddush, even when they're both tahar, it's not going to be bottled. Now, the Gemara asks, will the Rish Lakish, but according to Rish Lakish's interpretation of this brisa, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Seifa, what is this, essentially the difference between the Reisha's case and the Seifa's case, as Rashi explains? According to Rabbi Yechanan, who he was saying as we had ended off the previous daf, that's talking about whole slices. You have a whole slice of chatas tmeya and 100 slices of chatas taira. That's the reisha, which the Tanakhama says it will be batal. And then you have the sefer, which says that you have a full slice of chatas taira and 100 slices of chulin meat. That there, everyone will agree that it will not be batal. And the reason is, as we said, because of hef semur, which is a small loss. Now, therefore, since it's just a small loss, we're not going to be batal a full chash of a piece of chatas meat, and the reason is because that's something that's darkly limonis. It's something that, although it's not always sold by number, but it's something that is commonly sold by number. Now, as Rashi explains, he says, although, as we have seen on the previous daf, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that the round cake figs of Truma will be bottled in Chulin, as he responded to Rish Lakish, oh, but I learn regarding the case of chatas that something that's only kol shadarki liman is only commonly sold by number is going to be batal. Now, the understanding of that would be is because that by eagle, that even though it is a small loss, because it's truma, round cake figs into 100 round cake figs of chulin, now, that's not a big loss because it could still be eaten by all the kahanim. Still, Rashi explains, by the piece of meat, Rabbi Yechon would agree that we would not say it's bottle because of a small loss, and that we would give it totally to the Kohen. And the reason is because here we're talking about that the slice of meat itself is a biblical halacha, and therefore we're not concerned for a small loss. So that would be the understanding of Rabbi Yechon, where we would make a difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. The Reisha is going to say it will be bottle in 100 because it's only kosher darkei limanis, whereas the Seifa, where it's again, it's kosher darkei limanis and just a small loss. Oh, it's just a small loss. Although generally we say by kosher darkei limanis, where it's commonly sold by number, it could still be batal in 100, but that's only when it's a real loss. When it's a small loss, we'll say that no, we're not going to say the principle of bittul again, as Rashi explains. Although by truma we see that even for a small loss, Rabbi Yochanan says kosher darkei limanis, we will say bittul. That's only by drabanan, which was the case of the figs, is only rabbinic truma. But here we're talking about a biblical halacha, where for a non-kohen, if we would say bittul for the 100 pieces of chulin, to eat this one piece of chatas would be a biblical halacha. Therefore, we could understand why Rabbi Yechanan would say that it's not going to be bittul in the case of the seif. But the question is, according to Rish Lakish, who he said that regarding any biblical halacha, when it's darkei limanis, when it's commonly counted, which is the case that the Brayis is discussing in the previous daf, which is the slice of chatas meat. A slice of chatas meat, if it's not dissolved, it's not going to be bittul. Now, however, as we explained for Rish Lakish, so what's the understanding of the ratio of this brisa? Is because it was dissolved, so it's not chashev, and therefore it could be batal. But then the question becomes, then why by the seifa did the brisa say that everyone would agree, loitala, even if it's a small loss, but there's no isser over here to say that's a chashev a piece. Of course it's isser, but it's not a chashev a thing. It's not counted by any number ever, not even kosher darkei limanis, because it's totally dissolved. So who cares that it's just a small loss? Doesn't make a difference. Even for a small loss, we should say that it's going to be batal, because there's no reason why we shouldn't say bittul over here. Because according to Rish Lakish, it's already nimuach. So therefore the question is, why is that different than the ratio where we say that it's going to be tala because it's dissolved? The sefer should also be tala because it's dissolved. So I'm Rabbi Sheisha Berida of Idi. He says, the truth is, that we're talking about in the brisa that it's dissolved. So what's the difference between the reisha and the seifa? The seifa should also be batal in 100, even if, let's say, we're talking about from kadshim meat into chulin. But the difference is because reisha betumas mashkin derabanan. The first case in the brisa is talking about that the piece of meat became tamei through liquids that touched a vessel, where then that vessel touched this piece of chatas meat that then became tamei, that then we said became dissolved, and therefore it could become batel. Now the reason is because biblically, liquids cannot be metamei kli, and it's only a rabbinic halacha. Now, as Rashi explains, that although you can make a gzeira, and it would seemingly be a question that, what do you mean? You should make a gzeira because of tumah deraisa, like Rish Lakish himself said by the case of Igula Devela, where he said that even truma in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, that's rabbinic, will not be allowed for the androgynous to give his wife, because he might then come to give her truma deraisa. So therefore, essentially, you should say the same thing over here, even though the Rish is talking about that it's only became tumah from mashkin derabanan, but the meat, piece of meat could become tummy from the deraisa. And then Rashi says, here Rish Lakish would agree that it would be batel, since when something is liquefied, it's not darkei libanis at all, ever. So together with the fact that it's liquefied, it was dissolved, so therefore it's totally not darkei libanis, and we're talking about that the piece of meat in the first place only became tummy from a derabanan, so they will say that it will be batel 100. But Seifa, the last case of the Brisa, which was talking about when you have the piece of chatas meat, which is kachim, that get mixed into 100 pieces of chulin, which that's an iser for a zar, for a non-kohen to eat, a karban chatas, that's an iser de'oraisa. That will be a biblical prohibition. Now, something that's biblical, where it's min b'minoi, Rashi explains that the Tana of this Brisa holds that it's not going to be batel even by something that's not darkei limanis. Now, Tosfos actually elaborates on this, because although we already explained that Rabbi Huda, who argues on the Tana Kama, his opinion is based on the fact that even the Reish is loitala, because it's min b'minoi, so how are we explaining that the Tana Kama will hold in regards to the Seifa of the Brisa, that it's not going to be batel because it's biblical, because it's, so therefore, what's the difference that's biblical is because it's min b'minoi. Now, min b'minoi in biblical halacha is not going to be batel. Tosfos explains that Rav Sheshet Rabbi Dov Edi holds that the Rabbanan do not argue on Rabbi Huda that he says min b'minoi is le'batel. They only argue on him regarding when it's rabbinic halacha, which was the case of the Reish, as we explained, where the piece of meat, according to this interpretation of the Gemara, only became tamei through mashkin, which mashkin is a rabbinic halacha that it could be metame a kli, which then was metame this piece of meat. That's where they argue and say that although it's min b'mina, we're talking about two types of meat, one that's tame, one that's tahar. There they argue in Rabbi Huda and say that although it's min b'mina, but since it's rabbinic and it's dissolved, it will be batel. But regarding biblical halacha, which is the case of the seifa, there they agree that if it's min b'minoi, it's not going to be batel, and that's why in the case of the seifa, the Braisa said that everyone agrees it will not be tala. Now, Tosfos additionally explains that, however, if it would not have been dissolved, then we would have the principle of kol shadarka limonis, that anything that's commonly sold, which is what Rish Lakish holds regarding a slice of meat that wasn't dissolved, is mekadesh, will never be batel. And therefore, even by something that's only rabbinic tamei would not be batel, like truma bezman hazeh, like Rish Lakish had said on the previous daf. And therefore, if it would be deraisa, then we wouldn't say that the igul b'igulam would be oila, and that was his raya that obviously truma bezman hazeh is not deraisa, but rather drabanan. And therefore, that's what Tosfos says. It has to be talking about not only in regards to halachas of min b'minoi, but also that it has to be that it was not something that's darkei limanis, and that's why it has to be told about that it was totally dissolved. Now, so the Gemara has explained for Rish Lakish that the difference between the Reish and the Seifa is, although they're both talking about that it was dissolved, and if something dissolved, it would seem that in any case it should be bottled into the 100. And that is, as the Gemara had just said from Rav Shisha, that there's a difference because the Reish is rabbinic, and there we will not say min b'min le bottle, and therefore it will be bottled. But the Seifa, which, as we said, that's it became tamei from a biblical source, not through Thomas Mashkin, there we will say min b'min is not batel. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, however, Abba Thomas Sheretz, my, but what would you say then if it became tamei from a biblical source, let's say from a Sheretz, then you would say that loital, then it would not be batel in 100. I mean, that the Tanakham would agree in that case. But then the question is, are the Tani Sefer, then instead of the Sefer saying, and this is similar to the question the Gemara had just before, instead of saying, Avachaticha shal chatas tahira, but if you have a piece of chatas meat that's tar, shenis arve b'mei chaticha shal chun tahira, got mixed into 100 pieces of unconsecrated meat, and to 100 of them, that's tahar, that it loytale, it will not be bottle, which we said, again, the reason is because it's only a hefsemu, just a small loss, and we're not going to use the principles of bittul in that case. But instead of going to another category, which is instead of talking about what we had been speaking about of Tuma Tahara, moving on to Kadshim, to for Zarim, for to, into Chulin, Niflig Vlisnibidida, it should have said in its previous category of Tuma Tahara, like it was speaking about, and it should have qualified it by saying, when did we say that it will be bottle in 100? Again, as we're talking about that it's dissolved, because Rish Lakish would hold Kosher Dakel among us would not be bottle, even 100. Even it would be Tumas Mashkin, but it's because it's rabbinic. Aba Tumas Sheretz Loi, but it should have said, however, if it wasn't a Tumah, if it was became Tumah from a Tumas Sheretz, then it would not be bottle. Why did it leave what it was talking about to grab a different topic of Chulin and Kodshim? So the Gemara answers, as it said before, Tahira bit Tahira is Odifle. The Gemara, the Braisa preferred to say a Chiddush, although it's leaving a category, to say more than that, that to say in its own category, is because essentially, generally, we say more the principle of bittul when both items are tahar, and yet in spite of that, we're going to go as stringency and to say that since it's a issa deraisa, because it's kachim bizarre, and therefore, as we said before, then we're not going to say the halacha of bittul, even though that it's dissolved, as we already mentioned before, and that's why we don't say it in its own category. Now the Gemara says a different approach regarding the previous question about maishna reishna maishna seifa. Gemara asked, what's the difference? If it's dissolved, so it's not chashav at all, it's not even kosher darkelimonis. So just like the ratio where it's one tummy chatas meat and 100 tahar chatas meat, so here also when it's one tahar chatas meat and 100 chulin meats, that if it's totally dissolved, why don't you say it's bottled in 100 to 1? So on that, the Gemara says, Rabbi Amai says a different approach. He says, ratio is isolav. The case of the ratio that will say that, okay, it'll be bottled in 100, it is only a negative prohibition. In other words, the bittul, what's it working for? What isser is it nullifying? Is that the meat itself of kachim was tamei, which that is only forbidden based on the negative prohibition to eat. As it says in Mikra Zayin, v'abasa shigi b'chol tamei, then one's not allowed to eat. So that, for isolav, just a negative prohibition, we'll use the principle of bittul to allow it. But seifa, regarding the seifa, we were talking about when kachim gets mixed with 100 of chulin, which that could come to an iser karis, that could come to a punishment of karis, where if someone would eat it in a state of physical tumah, where the person itself is tumah, where you're saying, oh, if it's bottled in 100 pieces of chulin, that means non-kahan could eat it, who they're tumah, or even kahanim in the state of tumah could eat it. But When the person has physical tumah on his body and he eats kachim, that's a punishment of karis, as the pasuk says, v'hanefesh ashtechel basar, and therefore that case we didn't say that it's going to be batal in 100 because that's more stringent because of the punishment of karis versus the ratio, it's only a solav. Now on that, however, the Gemara asks, v'harabu hu da'ama, Rabbi himself says in the last parak on Daf Kuf Yud Tesamid Aleph, he says, kol b'day raisim, whenever we're talking about biblical halacha, biblical concern, then loishna isra lav, loishna isra karis, there's no difference for us between if it's just a negative prohibition or a karis type of penalty. And that is, if the rabbanah are concerned for karis, they would also be concerned for a negative prohibition. And therefore, they should make the same takana that it shouldn't be bottle in the ratio, just like they do in the seifa. And the Gemara concludes, kasha, definitely a difficulty, where Rabbi himself seems to say not to make such a division based on lav and of karis. The Gemara moves on to a third approach to this question. Rav Ashi Amar, he says, it was like we were saying in the beginning of this daf, that Rish Lakish interprets the braisa that it's dissolved. But what's the difference between the seifa and the resha? Chayra, the seifa should be the same as the resha. If it's dissolved, so what's holding back from it becoming bottle? It's totally dissolved. There's no chashivas holding back. Generally, we say principles of bittul. Then there are certain things that hold that back, if it's something that's distinct. But here, if it's totally dissolved, of course it should be bottle, even by the seifa, even if it's going to chulim. That Rav Ashi says, no, the seifa, that when it mixed into chulin, that's not bottle, is mishum dehavali davar sheyesh lematin, because it's considered something that has permissibility for it. And the reason is because it's permissible for a kayin, when one piece of kachim gets mixed into a 50 or 20 or 100, whatever it is, although maybe it might be forbidden for non-kohen, but kohen could still eat it. So it has permissibility to it, and therefore we know this halachic principle. Although we use the principle of bittul, nullification, but if there is permissibility for it, then even if it gets mixed into 1,000 of heter, the 1,000 of permissible ones will not be mevatel the one of iser. And therefore here, since there's permissibility, we won't say this. However, the Gemara says actually, Bahadur Avusha Bidusihi. This statement of Ravashi is mistaken. Because as the Gemara says on Be'ah Dav Gimel Bebeis, that this that we say Dabash Shishla Matir, something that has permissibility is not Batal. That's only, for example, if now it's Asr, but tomorrow it's going to be permitted. Meaning for someone that's forbidden today, for example, the classic case is Be'ah Shanold B'Yamtim, an egg that was laid on Yamtim. Now, that's forbidden. Based on different halachas, whether it be because of mukta, noilid. Now, but the next day, after Yom Tov, there's no iser intrinsic in it. You could go ahead and eat the egg tomorrow. So there we say that, okay, so it's double shesh matir, and there will be a time when, although it's forbidden now, it will be mutter. So now, even if it gets mixed into 1,000 different eggs, it won't be batal. And therefore the Gemara says, because Laman, for who exactly is Rav Ashi referencing this, that there's permissibility? Ilakayin, what do you mean, Mishra Shari? It's totally permitted even now. So you can't say it's not going to be batal because it has heter. What do you mean? It's not usher to say it needs bittal. According to a kohen, he could eat it as he could eat his truma, as he could eat his chatas. Il Yisrael, and if you're going to say that it's for the Yisrael, that, oh, for him it's usher because it's chulin mixing with kachim, and he can't eat kachim. And although we should say bittal, but we can't say bittal because it has heter, what do you mean, loyla master? For the Yisrael, there is no matirin. For him, eternally, it's aser. And therefore, elahad Rav Ashi b'dusi, obviously Rav Ashi was made up, and that is, it's obviously mistaken, because the principle of yeshu matirin is only that something that's forbidden now, but later will have a permissibility to it, then we don't say it's batal. But here, whoever it's permitted for, it's permitted. Whoever it's us, it's us. And there will never be a concept of yeshu matirin. Therefore, that cannot be a reason why the Sefer would say that we will not say bittal. Now the Gemara continues on the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara asked the following question. Is it really true that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Truma in today's time is biblical? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rish Lakish and says, wait a second. Obviously, the whole premise in our Mishnah, in the defining Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, that they say Anregnus can have his wife eat Truma, that it's only Bezman HaZeh, not the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, because you're differentiating and saying the time of the Beis HaMikdash was derais, and today's drabanan, and that Rabbi Yochanan says not true, which obviously sounds like he's saying that it's biblical. On that, the Gemara asks, but Vatanya, we learned the braisa that says shtei kupas. If there's two baskets, achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma, one of them is holding chulin produce and one's holding truma. The left name shtei soin, and in front of them are these two containers that have a saw. One has achas shel chulin v'achas shel truma. One saw, one measurement of a saw has in it one saw of chulin, the other one has a saw of truma. Now, v'naflu elu b'toich elu, now one of these containers falls into one basket, another one to the other one, and we don't know which one fell into which. Now, if the truma one fell into the chulin, or in the chulin fell into the chulin. So on that, the Braisa says, hare elu, so the chulin basket is mutarim, is permitted for the non-kahanim. And the reason is, shani oimer, Truma nafla, I say that the truma one fell into the truma basket, and the chulin b'toich chulin nafla, and the chulin container fell into the chulin basket, and therefore the chulin one still remains mutter, although technically it could have been that the truma one fell into it, which would make it dimua, make it forbidden because there's truma in here. We say that no, we assume that the chulin one fell into the chulin one. Now, regarding that braisa, we have that the following machlekes. Vamer Shlaka, she says, it's only behusha rabu chulin. It's only if that in that kupa, the basket of chulin, there's anyway a majority al hatruma. In other words, even had the sub truma fell into the kupa of chulin, there would still be a majority of chulin versus the truma. Now, therefore, Rish Lakish says, that's why we'll say that on the oimer, that we'll say, okay, that the chulin fell into the chulin, because even if we're wrong, and it was the opposite, that the truma one fell into the chulin one, still, according to biblical halacha, which we say, bittul b'rayv, even regarding truma, and the din of 100 to 1 is only a rabbinic halacha, anyway it's going to be batal. So therefore, together with the fact that we could say and assume that the chulin one fell into the chulin one, then that's why we're going to say that a zar could eat from that kupa of chul. But Rabbi Yechonah Amar, he said, no, Afa Pishalei Rabu Chulin Ala Trumi says that even if the Truma one happened to have fell into the Chulin one, there would not be a majority of Chulin versus Truma. Still, we say, we rely on the Sha'ani Omer, that we could still assume that the Chulin one fell into the Chulin one and it will be permitted for a non-kain. Now, that the Gemara asks, Bishlem L'Rish Lakish. We could understand Rish Lakish. That's not difficult, because based on his opinion that we mentioned in our sugya, that even though he says Truma Bezman Azez Rabbanan, but Ksava Bedrabbanan Nami Rebu Hudi Be'inan, but that he holds that although that this is a rabbinic halacha, because we're talking about Truma Bezman Hazeh, still he says you need to have a roiv. You can't just say Shani Oimer, because if let's say the Truma one fell in, it's not going to have a majority. Although it's a rabbinic halacha, this Truma, still you need to have a majority together with the Shani Oimer. So that makes sense. Rabbi Yechonah Kasha, according to Rabbi Yechonah, is very difficult, because if you don't have a majority, according to Rabbi Yechonah, he's saying you don't need a majority, and yet he holds Truma Bezman Hazeh Deraisa. So can we just assume a leniency in a biblical halacha? A non-kain is biblically prohibited to eat Truma. Now, we have two baskets that two containers fell into them. A 50-50 chance that the Truma one fell in. If the Truma one fell in, and there's not even majority to even say for biblical halacha of more chulin than Truma, how could Rabbi Yechonah, if he says in our sugya, Truma Bezman Hazeh Deraisa, to say that a non-kain could eat from the basket of chulin? So I think Moshe says, it's not a difficulty, because who amani, who's the Tana of this Braisa? Rabbanan, it's going like Rabbanan, who they hold like that it is Truma Bezman Hazeh is Rabbanan. However, we continue in Talmud Beis, but Vano the Amik Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yechonah says, I'm going in Rabbi Yosi's opinion. In other words, we have to remember that the whole machlok is Rabbi Yechonah and Shlokish on the previous daf was going in the Mishnah, which was Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon that said that opinion. That said, Androgynous Kayan could be Machal Ishtay Truma. Now, and that Rabbi Yechonah is saying, according to Rabbi Yosi is who we're arguing in. And I say that according to Rabbi Yosi, not like you're Shlokish, but even he could feed her Chaz of a Sheik. Because Rabbi Yosi does not make any differentiations in Truma, because he holds Truma even Bezman Hazeh is Deraisa. So if Rabbi Yosi is saying that the coin can be Machal or Truma, then that's for eternity biblical, so therefore he would allow even Chaz v'Shoik. To sound like we learned the Braisa B'Seder Olam and the Braisa B'Seder Olam, that to prove that Rabbi Yosi holds Truma Bezman Hazeh is Deraisa, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say the differentiation that Rish Lakish has. The Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Lamed Pasuk Hei, says that V'Heviyach Hashem Lekecha El Aretz, Hashem your God will bring you to the land, Asher Yosha Abisecha, that your father is inherited, V'Rishta, and that it will be inherited. Now it says two times inheritance. So on that, the Brice explains, there's Yerusha Rishayna. There's the first time the Jewish people inherited Eretz Yisrael, which in the times of Yeshua. Then there's Vishnia, the second time they inherited Eretz Yisrael, which was in the times of Ezra after Golas Bavel. Now that's Yeshlohen. That is, after the first exile, then the sanctity of the land lost its Kedusha. But then they got it back the second time. Now that, the inference is, that's only two times. Yarsha v'secha and Berishta. But Ushlishas ain't lehen. There's no more third inheritance. What the Bryce is trying to say is that we don't have to go back and inherit it again, because the second Yerusha is still standing. And what the Pasuk is teaching us is that the Kedusha Sa'aretz was not lost when Titus HaRasha took the Jews into the second exile, which we're still ultimately in that, and that is what Rabbi Yosi is saying, is that what the Tana of this Braisa and Seder Olam is saying is that the Kedusha Sa'aretz is still there for Truma to still be extant, and that what that means ultimately is that Kedusha is that the Halach of Truma is even Deraisa Bezman Hazeh. Now, from Rabbi Yechonah said, Man Tana Seder Olam, who is the Tana of the Braisa and Seder Olam? That's Rabbi Yosi. So therefore you see, Rabbi Yosi holds Truma Bezman Hazeh is Deraisa, but don't ask me on the Braisa that we quote on the Man Aleph, which yes, obviously the understanding is that Truma is Drabbanan, because that's going like Drabbanan. But we're arguing in Rabbi Yosi, who holds Truma Bezman Hazeh is Deraisa. Now, however, the Gemara asked on the Rabbi Yechonah that we quoted, which we had quoted based because we were asking the question, Rabbi Yechonah was quoted on Amud Aleph regarding the Smachlekes of that Braisa, of when you have the two kupais of Truma and Chulin and the sign folding into them. Now, Rish Lakish says that you have to have a majority, just in case, even if we're wrong and the Truma one folds into that one, but there's a majority of Chulin to Truma. Where Rabbi Yechonah said that you do not need. Now, that the Gemara asks, but so Rabbi Yechonah, is it true Rabbi Yechonah holds that B'Rabbanu Lebi'in and Rubui? That Rabbi Yechonah holds that by Rabbinic Halacha, which that's what he holds the Truma is you don't need a, that is according, at least according to that Tana, that Braisa, which the Rabbanan, that you don't need a Rav. And that is because the one who's asking the question assumes that the reason of Rabbi Yochanan is not because you're relying on the Sha'ani Oimer, because that's 50-50, but rather because even if we were wrong and the Truma one fell in, it still would not bother us in Halacha, because you don't need a majority in rabbinic law, and therefore once it mixes in, even if it's 50-50, it's still going to be batal. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says you don't need to have Rav just in case of the Truma is falling into it, to have the Rav of Chulin versus the Truma. Now that, the Gemara asks, is that really so? That regarding rabbinic law, you don't need to have a majority? But what's now, we'll learn the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayis that talks about regarding not regular water that you have to make a mikvah from, but rather other liquids or fruit juices or different types of beer, where it says in Masechtas Mikvayis, and it teaches us that mikvah shiyesh b'abar m'sam chuvanis. If a mikvah has exactly the minimum amount that you need to have for a mikvah, which is exactly 40 sa'. Now, if nasan sa', if let's say you put in a saw of other liquids, which are not valid liquids to make a mikvah, and then the natal saw, then you withdraw a saw from the mikvah. So that the Mishnah says, kosher. The mikvah is going to be kosher. And that is, although you went and you took out, and you could say that maybe now we're missing 40 saw of exactly water, because this saw that we had added of this other liquid does not complete that number 40, because it's not fit to make a mikvah from it. And that the chiddush of the Mishnah is, in spite of that, it's going to be kosher. And the reason is, because the moment you had 40 saw, which are kosher mikvah, and then you add another saw of some other liquid, it becomes bottled to the mikvah. And essentially, it's like you have 41 kosher saws of mikvah water. So therefore, when you take out one saw, you're left with 40. Now, however, Rashi points out, if it would be the other way around, if you had 40 and you first took out one, making it 39, and then you added one of this other one, then that would not be kosher valid mikvah, because you cannot be mashim, you cannot make a mikvah to add to 40 with these non-kosher liquids. But there it's talking about that you first added and then took out. Now, v'amr b'yehuda b'ashila amr b'asi amr Rabbi Yochanan, he qualifies that Mishnah Maseches Mikvayis, and again this is Rabbi Yochanan saying this, that ad rubai, you could do this until a majority. Now, my lav, the nishtai rubai, what does it mean up until a majority? That you have to do it up until a majority, you have to be left with a remnant of the majority of rainwater, meaning up until 19 saw can you do this idea. But more than 19, you cannot, because you need to have 21 at least, the majority of it has to be rainwater. So you see that although the psul of mayim shu'uvim, of drawn water, or these other types of liquids, although it's rabbinic halacha, still you need to have the majority of it being rainwater that's kosher. So you see that even the halacha d'rabbanan, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that it has to be a raif. So why does he argue on the halacha of these two kupais that you don't need to have majority? That thing where it says loy, no. Not like we had assumed that when Rabbi Yochanan says ad rubai, that you have to be left with a majority. It means the loy nishkal rubai, that you cannot remove a majority of the mikvah water. But however, if you're left with half and half, you took out 20, then it is going to be kosher, because actually, as we had assumed on the Braisa on Amud Aleph, the Rabbi Yochanan says you do not need a majority by Rabbanan, even if it's 50-50 of Truma to the Chulin, or in this case, of the kosher mikvah water to the non-kosher mikvah water, which is rabbinically psul, is going to be okay. Now, V'ibay Sim, the Gemara says, or if you want, you could say a second approach. And the truth is that even Rabbi Yochanan would agree by rabbinic halacha, you need to have a majority. And as the Braisa is saying, that as this Mishnah Masechta Mikvayis is saying, that Adrubai, you can't take out more than 19, because you need to have a majority of 21. Now, although Rabbi Yochanan said on the Braisa we brought in Amud Aleph, that Afa Pishar Loi Rabu Chulin, that no, it's okay even if the basket does not have a majority of Chulin to the Truma, Shani Hacha, that Braisa is different, because the Ikala Meima Shani Amin, because you could say, as the Braisa itself seems to be saying, that's the reasoning, because you could say that I can assume, I can say that the Chulin fell into the Chulin, and therefore there's no Isser. So together with the fact that we can definitely say that maybe the Chulin fell into the Chulin, and it's 50-50, then we'll say that it's going to be, you can have the Zarim eat from that original Chulin basket. Now, however, by the Mishnah Maseches Mikvayis, you cannot say Sha'ani Omer, because right when this liquid mixes into the mikvah water, they all assimilate one into the other. You can't say Sha'ani Omer, that the saw that I took out was the one of these non-kosher liquids that I had just put in. And therefore, you would only work based on the halachas of Rav, and you do need a Rav by even Rabbanan. Again, on the Amud Aleph was different, that Bryce, because there you could say the principle of Shani Yomer. Now the Gemara resumes this machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, which we had introduced on the previous daf, regarding the halacha in our Mishnah, regarding the adreganus that can go ahead and feed his wife. So the question was, can he only feed her rabbinic truma, which is what the Shlokish said, because he's a suffix, he's not a definite zachar, he might be a female, this androgynous, in halacha, and therefore, for rabbinic law we allow, but the biblical not. Or even, as Rabbi Yechanan said, even for chazav b'shaik he could ever eat, because he's definitely a zachar in halacha. Now that the Gemara has Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, regarding a different halacha, it says, androgynous noise, an androgynous can go ahead and marry a woman. Obviously, we consider him as a definite male, because a woman cannot marry a woman. So therefore, that's a difficulty according to Reish Lakish, who he said that the androgynous cannot feed his wife chazav b'shoik because maybe he's a woman. But the Mishnah says clearly he's not, because it says he can go ahead and say he can marry a woman. So that the Gemara answers. No, Tanei learned im nosa, that if he married, then he's married, and that what that means is that the woman will need a get from him, because although it's a suffolk isha, but he's also suffolk that maybe he's a male, and therefore you need a get because maybe it is a valid condition. But it's still just a case of a suffolk. I have to get more asked, but v'ha noisek tani, look at the terminology. It says noisei, which sounds like a lashon liketchili. You can go ahead and get married. We would only say that if it in halacha it was a definite zachar, not a doubtful zachar. Now that the Gemara responds, Reish Lakish would say, well, taimeich, what do you mean? According to reasoning, look at the next case of the Mishnah. It says, it said that, what would it be when the Mishnah says, avaloi nisa, but he can't be taken in marriage, meaning that a man cannot marry the androgynous, which that sounds like even b'diavid, because we're saying that there would be a problem about mishkav zachar. Now, elamai nisa, what would, in that case, what does nisa mean? It means diavid, meaning that even after the fact, this man cannot stay married to this androgynous. And therefore, you see that in the Mishnah it's discussing cases of diavid. So nice and name diavid. So therefore, even in the case before, when it says that he can marry a woman, we're talking about diavid. But look at Chil, of course not, because he's a suffolk isha. That the Gemara says no. Amri loy, they said no. Noise, look at Chil mashma. When we're saying that he could get married, that's saying a terminology of Likat Chil, of even initially doing that. Avoloi nisa, but when it's talking about what he cannot do, that he cannot be taken to marriage, where that's a different terminology, that's diyeb and namaloi, that's saying that even after the fact he cannot, and therefore definitely a kasha to Reish Lakish, and a precise reading of our Mishnah seems to indicate, like Rabbi Yechanan, that androgynous is considered a definite zachar, and therefore he could feed her even chazav b'shaik, and not like Reish Lakish. However, the Gemara does ask on Rabbi Yechanan too, because v'homen egetani seifa, that this that we learned in the end of the Mishnah, that Eliezer Omer, he says, androgynous chayovin alav skila kazachar, that if a male goes and copulates with an androgynous, so he's liable for skila as if he was having homosexual relations with a male. Now, mechlal, the inference is the Tana Kamo, who we were discussing up until now, svuki misafkele, sounds like he is in doubt. That seems to indicate like Reish Lakish, who says androgynous is a safek isha. Because if Reb Elezer seems to be arguing, he's saying, no, we treat him like a zachar, and therefore he'll get skila, it sounds like that according to Tana Kama that he won't get skila, because maybe we can't for sure say that he's a male, because maybe he's a female. And the Gemara says, no. It's not a kasha to Rabbi Yechanan, because Bein Lamar, both according to Reb Elezer and the Tana Kama, Mivshad Pshitele, it was obvious to them that androgynous and halacha is considered like a zachar, like a male. However, so what's Reb Elezer saying that we treat him like a zachar? The difference between them is regarding copulating with this androgynous to get skila, where we consider him like a zachar. Everyone agrees it's considered mishkav zachar, homosexuality. The question is, it would one be chayav for skila for both places of cohabitation, both from the anus and from by the woman would be the vagina, where demar sava, the Tana Kama held, chayav nalav skila mishnei mekaymis, he held that you're going to be chayv on the androgynous from both places, even in his mokim nekeva, where it's by a woman is considered a regular mishkav. Now the reason for this will be explained later on in the sugya from a pasuk. But Umar Sava, when Reb Elezer was saying that we treat him like a zachar, he meant that only kizachar, meaning just like the iser of copulating with a male is only possible in one place, in the mokum of where a zachar can have that type of tashmish, that is weird if a male copulates with androgynous, would be chayiv skila for. But however, b'mokum nak v'shaloi, in this female place, there, actually, that Rebbe Elazar would hold that you would not be chayev skila on. That's what he meant, kizachar, only like a zachar, which is b'mokam zachar shloi, not b'mokam nakvis, but it's not because the Tanakhama held that it's not for sure like a zachar, like a shlokish. No, he held definitely it is like a zachar. And that's why when he marries a woman, he can give her chazav a sheikh, because he's definitely a male. But the thing is that he was saying, not like Rebbe Elazar, that not only you chayev skila, b'mokam zachar shloi, but even b'mokam nakvis shloi.